New figures show one agency had a banner year, the Export-Import Bank, which lends money to American companies that do business abroad. It had a record number of transactions in fiscal 2012, and that's for reasons both good and bad. Export-Import Bank Fred Hochberg joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. Great to have you on. So you showed quite a large increase in the number of loans that you approved. Tell us what this says about the bank and about the economy, for at least for U.S. exports.
I think it says two big things, actually. One, we did almost $36 billion worth of approved loans, and just one slightly. Most of those loans actually go to foreign buyers so that they can buy U.S. goods. Very few of them actually go to U.S. companies. Most of them go to their customers. But it says two things. One, we're on an export upswing. Exports topped $2.1 trillion last year, $2.1 trillion. Never have we done more exports than we did in 2011. So, one, we're on an export boom. And two, the other thing that's not as good is the financial markets are still kind of weak. And so one of the reasons we've had to step in is to make sure we keep those exports going and the jobs being created. We need to sometimes step in and help finance those exports.
So going forward, would you like to see actually less work done because it's a sign that perhaps these things don't need to be subsidized or perhaps that the private lending institutions, they've recovered?
Well, let me say this, Emily. First of all, we don't subsidize, and I'll tell you why. We collect a fee for our work. The fees cover all our administrative costs, all our loan loss reserves. And on top of that, in the fiscal 2012, we sent to the Treasury $1.1 billion. So if subsidy usually means you get something from the government, we actually contribute to the government.
And if you're like other banks, I imagine you are able to offer a pretty low interest rate to the people you do loan, since everybody else is.
Well, we do, and we're also because our loans are backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. So, in an ideal world, we would do less. Frequently, we think of the Export-Import Bank as a little bit countercyclical. But if I look forward the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, one, I think we're still seeing a large upswing in exports. And two, banks have – where we really make a difference, Emily, is in long-term loans. We make a difference in two areas, I say, long-term loans and small business. Those two areas, are going to still have trouble getting lending from banks for quite some time to come.
And in your executive summary to your report, you also note that it seems that you guys are doing a better job. Your employees are more productive than they've ever been. Can you talk a little bit about how they're doing that?
Well, the employees of Ex-Im Bank are an extraordinary group. I could not be more proud of them and fortunate, frankly, to have come in with President Obama in the spring of 2009 and found such an extraordinary group of people. So, we're very collaborative. People have found a lot of shortcuts. We've eliminated things like credit committee. So career staff of the bank can approve loans up to $10 million. There's a process for that, but the point is we've delegated more authority to our employees, and we've tried to therefore cut cycle time. I'll give you an example. 98% of all loans are processed within 100 days, and 90% are processed within 30 days.
And I guess I'd like to have you give us
I'm trying to improve that.
Sure. Just a little civics lesson here. You loan to companies that buy U.S. exports. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure you get them to pay you back?
Well, we obviously do a very rigorous credit review of all those companies. But what it frequently is sometimes, Tom, we've got products that are hard to finance. I'll give you an example. Satellites, nuclear power plants, large commercial airplanes that companies like Boeing make. These are hard to finance. They're very large. They're very expensive. And sometimes U.S. companies were selling to countries that are hard to finance into. Kazakhstan, South Africa, Colombia. These are more difficult markets for banks to be comfortable in. So we try and fill the gap on products that are hard to finance and countries that are hard to finance. We do a very thorough credit review, and we actually report to Congress every 90 days what our default rates are. And our defaults right now are running about one-third of 1%.
Wow. We're speaking with Fred Hochberg, the chairman and president of the Export-Import Bank of the United States, which is an independent agency. You're in 178 countries. Going forward, for the next year, any plans to go into new ones such as Burma?
Well, we're going to wait for the State Department and the President to make a decision whether we can do business in Burma. But there's certainly a keen interest in Burma. But where the real, I think, still the action is in the emerging markets, countries like India, Turkey, China. We're seeing an uptick in business. Australia, which is not an emerging market, but a very strong market for U.S. exports. I was with Secretary Clinton in South Africa, Mozambique. So there, I think a lot of those countries are still going to be growing strong. Some of the fastest growing countries in the world today are actually in South Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa. But that, and of course, Burma, we'll be seeing what develops in that market.
And when you say emerging countries, are you saying, is there a middle class there, no matter how small there is, in fact, a middle class?
Well, Emily, you hit the nail on the head. The key thing for us to be really building our exports and why I'm so optimistic and bullish is the continuing emergence of the middle class globally. And we're looking at more than a billion people additional entering the middle class by the end of this decade. I'll just give you one. I was in China. There are 250 million people in the middle class in China today, and by 2020, there'll be 600 million. That is a huge opportunity for U.S. companies, from selling everything from medical equipment to airplanes, the full and a lot of consumer goods.
But some of those countries like India and China have well-developed banking systems at this point in their history. So where does the EXIM fit in with the existing loan and infrastructure that they have in places like that?
China, that's to some degree true, but we have seen a need for off financing, which was not the case 10 years ago. I'll give you an example, Tom. In at the turn of the century, in 2000, 2001, China was our single largest creditor at Ex-Im Bank. Then they did a lot of self-financing, and now they're having to come back because they're doing so much investment. Even India, Korea, very strong country, does not have the depth in its capital markets to finance some of the aircraft, a lot of the aircraft that they're buying. So as deep as these markets are, they're frequently just not deep enough to do all the financing that's needed as they build up their infrastructure. The real game here is, let's think about it. For the last few decades, American consumers, fueled by debt, have led not only our economy but the global economy. The shift today is going to be infrastructure investment. It's going to be, I believe, will be leading both our economy and the global economy.
But you would think, intuitively, that some of the big U.S. banks would beat you there to some of those really good customers with the low default rates.
Well, we work with most of our loans are guaranteed loans. So most of the times we will guarantee a Citibank or a Morgan Chase or Bank of America when they're making loans to those countries. So we're not replacing them. We work alongside them.
All right. So what do you see ahead in the coming year, and what kind of support are you getting from Congress for the activities you'd like to do?
Well, we fortunately were reauthorized last May. President Obama signed our bill for another 3 years.
And we remember that did not come easily either.
Yeah, it did not come at all easily. And time flies. We have within 2 years, we are up for reauthorization again. Congress is there. That was at the end of the day, a bipartisan agreement, but a hard-fought agreement. Partly, we're having a little bit of debate in this country. What's the role of government? Does government have a role in helping create jobs and helping businesses succeed? And that was part of what that debate was really about last spring. But in terms of what we're looking forward to, we're obviously looking forward to once the CR expires to get a real budget. We've asked for some increases so we can increase our outreach to small businesses so that we can do a better job also of risk management and improve our technology. We have, as some of our employees said, Fred, we have systems at the bank that are older than we are. So we need to do a real upgrade in our technology.
And just a final question. Sometimes you hear the idea proposed of an infrastructure bank to get some of the things done in this country. And couple that with what we've seen for infrastructure in a couple of recent cases. Bridges were actually constructed, say, in China, out of Chinese steel, put on ships and installed here in the United States. So do you envision the EXIM being part of some kind of infrastructure financing where the final product would be built overseas and installed here?
Well, I don't know that. I think that's, you know, Congress has been debating whether we need an infrastructure bank. I will say one thing. We certainly need improved infrastructure if we're going to compete globally. And I think there are probably some lessons that we've picked up at the Ex-Im Bank that would be helpful at the time that we want to go forward with an infrastructure bank. I think we do a lot of infrastructure financing overseas. So perhaps we can pitch in with that.